This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up, y'all? What's going on out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP, coming at you live. Well, I guess not live. It's live to me, but it's not live to y'all. Y'all catching on the back end, I suppose. Coming through with the first episode of the brand new year. Happy 2023 to everybody. Hope everybody's being safe and, you know, manifesting big things for all y'all. So happy new year to everybody. Appreciate you stopping by and checking me out. Honestly, I really struggled on if I even wanted to drop one, you know, because, you know, it's just been a wild couple of days. All prayers up to Damar Hamlin. Make sure everybody's out there, you know, manifesting and praying and just hoping for the best, hoping for him to pull through. Man, just watching what happened on Monday night, it was just one of those freak things that you really can't. I mean, it's just so hard to kind of, you know, just kind of put into words. You know, we're all sitting back watching the game. They've been hyping it on ESPN for like the entire week. And with good reason. You know, you got two really, really good teams playing in a late season showdown. You got number one seed ramifications. You got playoff positioning. These two teams might see each other in the playoffs. So, you know, this is a real good time to make a statement for either team. You feel me? Bengals drive down the field, get the touchdown. Bills drive down the field, get the field goal. So, you know, you got one of those. It's looking like one of those classic barn burners. And in an instant, just like that, who cares? You feel me? And if you watch the game, you 100% understand what I'm saying. You went from, man, I hope my team get this. I hope the Bengals pull it out. And just like that, I'm thinking, I hope this game doesn't continue. Because as a player, I really don't understand. It's tough. I just don't get how you can expect the players to just pick back up and start playing again after seeing your teammate, somebody you might have went to college with, somebody you might have known in high school, you know, somebody that plays football just like you do, seeing them go through what they went through on the field, and then they say something like, you know, 5 minutes, we'll give you 5 minutes to warm up. And kudos to Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott for just being like, you know what, it's not happening, because you need that. And I consistently say this on the pod, y'all. You have to have people that's protecting the players. Because if you leave it up to the player's going to play. Because that's what they've been taught to do. That's in their DNA. I play football. If you give me a shot, I'm going to play football. I feel like that about teaching. It's hard for me to be like, okay, I'm sick, I don't feel well, because I'm like, I feel like in my classroom, I'm the best at what I do. So I don't want somebody else to come in because my kids are going to be a day behind. And it could be the best sub ever, but I'm like, it's not me in there. You feel me? So I gear up no matter if I have like the pounding migraine, no matter if I have, you know, all types of sicknesses, I got to get to school because I'm like, I'm a teacher. I teach. That's what I do. And football players and basketball players and hockey players and baseball players and soccer players, they feel the same way. They're like, this is what I do. If I feel like I can do it, I'm going to do it. And you need strong people around you to be like, look, I know you can do it. I know you got this. However, you're not up to snuff. You can't do this right now. And shout out to Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott for being those leaders to say, I know what you can do. But what I'm saying is you can't do what you think you can do because mentally you're not there. There's this quote. I think it's Napoleon Bonaparte who said it. I'm not quite sure, but the quote is, old men declare war, but young men are on the battlefield, or something to that extent. And you have the NFL, and they're like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. But they're not really putting their bodies on the line. It's these players that are out there putting their bodies on the line for our entertainment. And they're like, that's what I do. And, you know, as fans, we can be cynical and say, you get paid a handsome sum to entertain us, you know, to take those hits. You get paid a whole lot of money. So, you know, if you got like a hurt ankle or something like that, you know, just you got to give it a go because this is what you do. And I feel like watching something like what we saw on Monday, it makes it painfully clear that it might be entertainment to us, but this is a job to players. And in football, it's a very dangerous job. It really is. I think the span of an NFL career, the average is about 3 years. And they don't make that long, long money like you see some of the quarterbacks make, some of the wide receivers make. On average, they don't make that long money. So, you know, they're out there, they're giving it a go. They might not feel their best, but they're trying. And they're trying for us to entertain, and they're trying for themselves to keep their family straight once they stop. And it behooves us as fans to understand that we're watching human beings sacrifice their bodies every Saturday, every Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday. And we got to be advocates for them. Like, we really do. We have to let people know it's not cool to put a squad out there on Sunday and then put them back out there on Thursday. I mean, us as fans, we got to be able to state that because the players are going to wheel themselves out there if they have a game. It's what they do. In the NFL, I hate to say it, you know, they're about the dough. So if they know we're watching, they're going to put the product out there. I mean, I say all of this to say that what we saw happen on Monday was one of those things where it was a horrible, horrible accident, and you can't really blame anybody for what happened. And I'm not even going to start on the takes that some people are just putting out there, blaming folks and saying if this would have happened and if this wouldn't have happened. I feel like we really need to understand that sometimes in our lives, accidents happen and it's nobody's fault. Like, it's really nobody's fault. Freak accidents happen and it's on us not to blame, but it's on us to support. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just an American thing or if it's like a worldwide thing, but when something happens that's horrible, we immediately try to find somebody to blame. Oh, well, if so-and-so wouldn't have done this, or so-and-so would have did this. And sometimes it's not necessary because you're not going to find anybody to blame. It's easy to blame the NFL, but I mean, the NFL is not at fault for this particular incident. the players involved are not to blame for this particular incident. Sometimes horrible things happen. And it's not for us to be cynical to say, oh, well, bad things happen. And it's not for us to be like, oh, well, you know, next time you have to not. It's not about that. At this point right now, it's all about supporting somebody and supporting somebody's family. That's really what it's about right now. And we can push all of the other stuff about blame and this, that, and the third. We can push that down the line a little bit. Now is not the time for that. And I don't think there'll ever be a time for that, because this is one of those things where you have a really horrible accident and we have to support that man. We have to support that man's family. So make sure you throw a prayer up. I mean, don't just say, you know, prayers up. Make sure you actually sit down and just say a small prayer, you know, whatever religion you happen to support. Make sure you pray for DeMar Hamlin, because he simply went out there to play a football game and a horrible accident occurred. And now we're here in this moment. Shout out to Bills Mafia out there for being supportive like they normally do. I mean, that's their thing and you got to love them for that. And shout out to the Bengals fans. And it's something I always knew, and I feel like a lot of other folks are starting to understand how supportive our fan base really is. And it was really cool to see. It's really cool to see, and not just really the Bengals fan base. I've seen pretty much every single fan base not only throw out support, but throw out the prayers, donate to the charity, and all of that. It was really cool to see everybody put their biases aside and just step up and support. And, you know, as a family, they're really going to need that. And Bills Mafia is really going to need that. So definitely prayers up, and make sure you support that man. And I mean, at this point, to me, it's not really about football. Not anymore. I was desperately hoping that the game wouldn't continue. I have no clue how the game could have continued and people would be cheering for touchdowns and hoping for stops and stuff like that. The wife and I, we had already just said, you know, if the game continues, we're turning the channel. Like, I'm not even going to watch it, because how can you watch something that happened right on that field and then 10, 15 minutes later, you kick it up and you hype the ball? I mean, I just wouldn't have understood that. So definitely appreciate them not playing the game. Hopefully the mental health support for all of these players kicks up, because I mean, to put it in a perspective for what I do for a living, if there's a fight in the classroom, or if there's, like, you know, some kind of physical altercation somewhere around the class or something like that, the last thing I'm going to do is say, all right, let's go ahead and turn to page 12. No, the kids kind of need a little bit of time to, like, decompress. I mean, they saw something happen. You know, some of their classmates might have been involved. Somebody might have gotten hurt. And you're kind of like, I'm not going to teach right now. You guys want to talk about it? You guys need to put your heads down for a quick second. Let's just take a few minutes to just go, like, look, we're going to be okay. And just kind of talk about it. This is like that on a much larger scale, because every single week, these players go out there and anything can happen. And I really think people lose sight of that. In football, anything can happen. And it could be the most mundane plays. You know, you're going down and making a tackle and all of a sudden your shoulder doesn't feel right. And we've seen some stuff happen in football. We really have. So as the players go out there, in the back of their mind, they have to be thinking, that could easily be me. That could have happened to me. that was my best friend. That was somebody I played in college with. That's somebody I played in high school against. So being able to process that with somebody that's licensed and trained to have those conversations, that would really, really help all of these players. And I'm saying that for Bills players, for Bengals players, pretty much for anybody in the league, because not everybody can play football, you feel me? Not everybody can do that. So the people that can do it, you know, they're blessed to be in that position, but they also pay a price to be in that position. So hopefully they get what they need mentally. And I feel like mentally is going to be the important part, because you can put it out there physically. You can go ahead and do what you need to do physically. But mentally it's going to be really difficult for some players, maybe a lot of players, to just kind of kick it in the gear and, you know, be able to do what they need to do. I'm pretty much I'm not even going into when they should play again or the ignorant stuff some of these commentators are saying about who's at fault or whatever. I'm more like, support Bills Mafia. All right. Do what you can to support them. I mean, a kind word, getting on a couple of Bills podcasts and just kind of listening in and see how they're feeling and checking in. Anything you can do to help them would be absolutely awesome. So that's what I would say. I guess I can touch on a couple other things, you know, since I got your ear. And I only really have a couple of things for real, because, I mean, just kind of processing everything that happened, I'm like, dang, man, that's absolutely crazy. But in Ohio, just kind of switching gears real quick, in Ohio, January 1st kicked in the legalization of gambling. Yep, you can now gamble in Ohio. Nope, you could not gamble in Ohio for years and years before that. And we've been seeing the DraftKings and the FanDuel and the MGM stuff. We've been seeing all of that stuff on our TVs and on our phones, but I had no clue how easy it is to make a bet, man. Like, just playing around, I downloaded BetJack. It's like the one we have in Ohio. Downloaded that, and boom. I can bet on cricket. I can bet on a cricket match, man. Like, it's 3 a.m. I can, like, bet on tennis. I'm like, this is absolutely wild. It's scary as hell. Like, I read something this morning saying that our governor, Mike DeWine, is already upset about the way that these casinos and these gambling book houses already upset about the way that they're advertising. And it's January 4th, 4 days into the brand new year, and DeWine is already upset about these gambling ads he's seeing on television. And the main thing is, he's upset, and a lot of the gambling commission folks are upset as well, about how they're targeting people younger than 21. And I'm like, no crap. Like, you didn't think that was going to happen? That was one of my main concerns. Two concerns, actually. My first concern is that you're making gambling super duper easy for anybody to do, which means people that may have gambling problems are now prone to having more of a problem. It would be like going like, hey, you know, I want you to stop drinking, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this big case of beer in your house, you know, just in case you get the urge. But don't do it. Drink responsibly. Make sure you don't do it. Like, and then you say that real fast. Like, what are you thinking? That's what's going on now. I mean, I'm looking at my phone right now, and I can literally just place bets on anything I feel like for any dollar amount I feel like from the comfort of my own home. That's freaking scary. And the second part is, everybody has a phone. Everybody. I think everybody has a phone except for my 10-year-old daughter. who's bugging us about a phone. And I'm like, you got your iPad? She's like, no, but I need a phone. Like, we'll see. Maybe. She's like the only person I know that doesn't have a phone. Most of her classmates have a phone. So imagine being a 16, 17-year-old with your phone, and they just ask you that one simple question. Please verify that you're over the age of 21 or over. Okay, boom, I'm 21 or over. Yay, I can gamble. It's a scary thing. I get the benefits. You're pumping a whole lot of money into the state for things like education, which is definitely necessary. But I mean, if we're calling a spade, the places that really need that though, education-wise, we don't see that money. So really, you're spreading out all of this money to the same folks who have all the dough and really don't need the dough. Meanwhile, you're creating a generation of problems gambling-wise. I mean, I know a ton of people who were already just going like, I'll just shoot over to Indiana, make a bet real quick, come back, go back to Indiana, collect my winnings, and I'm good. People have been doing that for a long time. So if they're willing to do that to bet, and now it's on their phones, whew. I said this last time I was on the pod. I'll say it again. Make sure you gamble responsibly, all right? Now, there's a few people out there, you know, you'll see the gambling sites and they'll have the real small print, gamble responsibly, blah, blah, blah. But they don't really discuss the damage that gambling can do. They don't really talk about it. And plus, it's just so normalized now. You turn on ESPN, you'll see the point spreads. They'll put somebody on and talk about how you should bet and who you should bet on. I mean, it's really scary what's happening. Meanwhile, my man Pete Rose, he can't get into the Hall of Fame because he gambled. But then you turn on a baseball game and you'll see gambling ads everywhere on the baseball game. But, you know, I'm just saying. At one point, is a punishment enough? You feel me? At one point, do you go like, all right, we feel like you've been punished enough. You got more hits than anybody that ever played in the history of the game. Let's go ahead and let you in. I'm just saying, that's just a little tangent I just went on real fast. if you know somebody that likes to gamble, check in on them. Make sure they good. And if y'all close enough, just let them know, like, look, check how much you gambling, man. Watch yourself, because I don't want it to be like you broke and you got to stay at my house. All right. I'm just saying, like, I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm like, gamble responsibly. Set aside an amount of dough that you know you can play with and just do that. I've already told folks, you probably won't catch me gambling. If you catch me gambling on the game, it's probably like some bonus money that I got. And after that, I'm good. I'm trying to collect all of the free credits. And that free credit stuff is a hustle, man. In Ohio, they said that free gambling is supposed to be free if you say it. This stuff ain't free. Let me check out the hustle, man. For real, check out. I went on like BetJack or one of those. I think it was MGM. I don't know, one of those. And they said they match how much you put in for your first bet. So if you put in 100, they're supposed to match 100. So you got 200. Boom. No. LP likes to read the fine print. That's my thing. I'm the dude that turns on the television, and if I see a commercial with the real small stuff, I'll push pause and I'll read all of that. I'm that guy. Like, I'm that dude. So I'm reading what they're talking about, and they'll give you the credit after you put 5 equal bets down. So that means you got to make 5 bets of $100 in order for them to give you $100. And you can't even bet on the sure thing. You have to make sure your bets are like kind of long odds too. I'm like, dang, that's the hustle? That's what we doing? I'm worried about some folks, man, for real. Check on your peoples. Make sure they are good with the gambling. Don't have them betting their house and their cars and all that, man. Because I can see it, like, know how easy that is to do on the app? Man, I DoorDash stuff just because I can. For real. I just DoorDash stuff just because. It's right there. Oh, I got the free delivery credit. Boop. Food. That's because it's there. People do that with gambling just because it's there. Oh, I'm bored. Man, what, I got 100? Oh, dang, I lost. I got to get that back. Next thing you know, it's all bad. Check on your peoples, all right? Don't let these gambling sites swindle you into giving up all your dough. Just saying. And last but not least, I wanted to make sure I did this. I just wanted to make sure I put this out there. If you can, give out a thank you to CJ Stroud, man. I was hoping that Ohio State made it to the college football playoff simply to let CJ Stroud show out and let all of the haters know that he's been balling for 2 years. He lost to Michigan twice. True. He didn't win a college football game. A college football playoff game. True. I'll give you that. Just looking at his stats, CJ Stroud threw for 85 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. 85 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Went for over 8,000 yards passing. QB rating like 180 at least over his 2 years. Rose Bowl champion. And he didn't win a Big Ten title. And a lot of people will say, you know, he wasn't a winner. He has all of these stats, but he didn't win when it was a big game. There were some games that he didn't win. You're judged based on what you do against Michigan and what you do in the college football playoff. I understand if people say stuff like that. But to call CJ Stroud's 2 years at Ohio State mediocre or failure is absolutely ridiculous. It tells me that you don't watch the Ohio State Buckeyes the way I watch the Ohio State Buckeyes. To see him grow from his first game against Minnesota to his last game against Georgia was absolutely amazing. I remember him coming in, picking up the starting job, and everybody was like, dang, man, Justin Fields going, I don't know what we going to do. And CJ Stroud showed out for 2 years. The trouble with being an Ohio State fan is that Ohio State is expected to win every single game. That's just how it is here. Some people don't like that. They don't come to Ohio State. Some people enjoy that. Some people are like, I want to be with the best and I want to play against the best. So they come to a place like Ohio State. I admire the competitiveness of CJ Stroud. I admire how he kept coming back no matter what. And these guys are, I won't call them kids because I hate when people call me a kid in college. I'm like, dude, who are you talking to? I'm a grown man. I'm 20. I realize how funny that is now, like when I say that as a grown man. But the social media age makes it so that people can say whatever they want with very few consequences to whoever they want to. It's very difficult to play in this era. It really is. And you have somebody like CJ Stroud who was able to like block all of that nonsense out for 2 full years and play his heart out. I mean, I cannot say that CJ Stroud didn't play his absolute best. I can't say that. Nobody could say that. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way we want it to. It just doesn't. Sometimes we don't get that storybook ending. And it doesn't mean that the person was a bad player. It doesn't mean that they were weak in the moments where they're supposed to be strong. It doesn't mean they didn't shine when they needed to shine. Sometimes it just means that the other team played better. And that's sports. Like, that's life for real. You can do everything that you needed to do to get a job done. And you can fail. And honestly, in life, you're going to fail more than you succeed. You just are. There are going to be so many times where you don't get to where you want to go. but you end up in another spot. And that spot ends up better than what you thought. And I feel like that's going to be CJ Stroud. I sincerely hope that he uses what happened at Ohio State for his 2 years. And then he goes pro and absolutely balls out. For real. That's what I want for CJ Stroud. Because he had a great career here at Ohio State. He really did. People aren't going to appreciate it for a very long time. Because that's just how we are. Like, we're a society nowadays where it's like, what did you do yesterday? Oh, for real? That was cool. So what you do today? Oh, for real? That's cool. So what you doing tomorrow? Like, that's us. We care a little bit about yesterday. We care a whole lot about today. And we care a whole lot about tomorrow. That's just us as a society. And CJ Stroud played through all that. And he put up awesome numbers. And he led his team to some great places. They didn't get over the hump. But I hope he'll be remembered for what he did and the heart that he showed. Because you probably cannot find a bad game from CJ Stroud. You really can't. And it's not to blame the team around him because they balled out too. Sometimes it just doesn't go our way. So we have to figure out what are we going to do next. And I hope CJ Stroud goes somewhere in the NFC because I don't need to run up against him as a Bengals fan. I really don't. I hope he goes somewhere in the NFC and just does his thing. It would be messed up if he went to Detroit. Like, that would kind of be messed up. But he could just show them, like, how he get down from Ohio State. So, that'd be cool, too. Wherever he make the dough at, that's cool. So, I don't know if you're going to hear this, CJ Stroud. You know, everybody listen to the pod here. Everybody listen to a Cincy fan talking, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. Visual thumbs up. But if anybody hears this, from an alum, all right? Thank you, CJ Stroud, for everything you did here. Jackson Smith and Jigba, same thing. We appreciate everything you did and hope for nothing but success as you go to the next level. Hope y'all ball out, Pro Bowls, All Pro, all of that. But just don't forget one thing. You did not fail here at Ohio State. If anybody says that, absolutely ridiculous. You definitely succeeded here. So that's all I got on that. We're going to go ahead and roll out. Man, life is good, but prayers up to DeMar Hamlin. Make sure y'all put those prayers up. Send nothing but positive energy, positive messages, and all of that, y'all. And catch y'all next week, man. Life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy fan talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.